760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning and welcome to The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. And we are so grateful that you are here with us. It gives us a reason to be joy-filled. Hi, I'm Allison DeLole, and I am here with my co-host, Josh Harris.
Hola.
And Dave Savage is with us as well today. Good morning. Is it a good morning, Dave?
It helps
when you turn my mic on.
Yeah. Dave's in timeout over there.
The naughty corner.
We've tried it both ways, with the mic off and the mic on, and it works better with the mic on.
I like hearing your voice when the mic is on. I do.
Well, let's kick this thing off the holiest way, the best way, and that is with prayer. I'll say in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm going to just echo Mother Teresa. Lord, help us take whatever you give and give whatever you take with a big smile. As I say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be,
world without end. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, I had a really cool conversation, which we are going to unpack more on air with Father Luke Ballman from Holy Spirit yesterday. And there is something really, really cool happening. I mean, I think it's one of the coolest events coming to our diocese this summer. Holy Spirit will be hosting it. And it's an event at Holy Spirit where they're celebrating the canonization, soon to be canonization, of Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati.
Ah.
Now, this guy's got a major cult following. I mean, Carlo Acutis-esque, just a legendary saint. And they are having essentially Holy Spirit and the Catholic Church and the Conference of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul are essentially sponsoring this, and it's going to be dessert reception and a presentation on Blessed Pier Giorgio given by Father Pablo I'm going to butcher the last name, so we'll call him Father Paolo for now. And he's the Vatican's, serves in the Vatican's dicastery for the causes of saints.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, he's going to speak about his life, his work with the poor, meaning Blessed Pier Giorgio, and the church's process of canonization as well.
That is so neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when you think about it, you know, we have, you know, get acquainted with the sainted, but a lot of us aren't even aware of the process, or we've read about it, mm-hmm. but how neat is that going to be,
yeah,
having him come and actually unpack it for us?
Process. I mean, it's really cool. You have to have two verified miracles,
yeah,
from the intercession of this saint. So, yeah, and this guy has a pretty radically cool life. I mean, he lived a short but powerful. He died at 24 years old.
24?
So another young saint.
It was about 100 years ago, right?
Yeah, over 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, about 100 years, exactly.
Wow.
1925.
That was just yesterday.
Yep, born in Turin, Italy, and he was super compassionate about helping the poor, giving his own money and clothes to help those in time of need. But what's really cool is at his funeral, right, this little kid, I mean, young man, I guess you would say is a better word, he apparently it was packed with the outcasts of society.
Oh, wow.
The poor, the homeless, all of them just showed up. And I think reflectively, they're realizing, wait a minute. And the pieces get put together, and he's serving all these people on his own dime as a young man, when people are typically his age interested in, I guess you'd say, more self-centered pursuits.
Sure.
Wow. We need to all strive for that. Seriously, when we die, we want to make sure we made an impact on everybody's life.
I heard he would, this is in a story, like a dramatic narrative that I heard, but he would play people in pool, and if they lost, they had to join him in Eucharistic adoration.
Ooh, look at that.
Hopefully he was a good pool player then.
I hope so.
I'm sure he was.
I don't know what was on the other end of the wager, so I hope so as well.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we're going to have more about that. But if you are interested in kind of getting it on your radar, it is going to be taking place June 27th. I guess around after the 6 p.m. Mass. So show up for Mass and then join all these awesome people at Holy Spirit for dinner, as well as Father Paolo. I hope I'm saying that right.
Probably not.
Hey, I get a pass. I'm from the South, so, okay. You know.
You Southerner.
Only thing we can say right is Roll Tide or Ugga, but anyway.
And I want to say, too, if it's not there right now, it will be on the event calendar on thequestatlanta.com.
Yep.
And on
yep.
the Quest Atlanta app.
Absolutely.
It will be soon.
So that's going to be really, really exciting stuff, and we will have plenty more information. But, yeah, check it out on the Holy Spirit website. It's going to be action-packed. Speaking of action-packed, we got a great show lined up today. Our buddy Father Rivak, priest at St. Clair of Assisi in Acworth, is going to be unpacking today's scripture reading. Gospel reading. Buddy Chuck Perser helps us get acquainted with St. Boniface. Jeannie Dennis, parishioner at Christ the King, is going to be talking about life and the Spirit. But next, it's our weekly nighttime segment featuring Tony Maturo, parishioner at St. Mark's in Clarksville, Georgia, and March for Life coordinator for the Knights of Columbus, spotlighting all the incredible advocacy and organization he is spearheading for pro-life events across Georgia and the United States on behalf of the Knights.
Well, you forgot one thing. That
what's that?
We can listen in about 10 minutes or so to see if Allison still thinks that weather bet is really funny.
Oh yeah.
I hope it's not going to be funny today.
You were listening yesterday. I shouldn't have brought it up.
The thunder just
it was just
made
it,
her
something
crack
struck
up.
Her funny, and she just lost it. It was funny. We got to get that and play it back. It was funny.
I mean, you know, Allison, I just say it's what a great gift you would be. I just hope if it's God's will, I find someone as easily entertained as Allison. Think about how much money I'd save on a date. You know, we could pay $50 and go to a movie or a comedy club, or we could just sit on the porch and listen to the thunder as the date cracks up.
I will be praying for you, Josh. I will be praying for that special one to come your way.
Yes.
So what's the weather without the weather bed this time?
It's mostly cloudy today with a chance of showers and thunderstorms later this afternoon with a high near 83, and it's 66 at 8:07.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are joined by Tony Maturo from St. Mark's in Clarksville, and he is the March for Life director for the Knights of Columbus. We're so glad to have you with us, my friend.
Sure, thank you. Good to be here.
The Knights are so involved in just a multitude of different ministries. How do they serve in the March for Life?
Sure. With the March for Life, we help just coordinate the march itself. One of the big things is just to encourage Knights and their parishes to bring people to the March for Life. I think the March for Life is the type thing that, for me, it's once you go once, you want to go back. Get just such a feeling of, just from the crowd, a feeling of joy that you get from that march, that experience, that helps bring you back to just feel that same joy again.
Yeah.
And I think the big thing for me as well is that you feel that joy and you want others to share that experience as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Hearing this is so inspiring. So you guys have a coordinated effort to bring a lot of people to the March for Life. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. So the march, it's you're looking to get a big numbers there, just to show support for life, both Washington and in the state of Georgia as well. I've been to the state of or the March for Life in Washington now. I've been going since 2010.
Wow.
And then that's what helped me get involved with the March for Life for Georgia as well, to see can we replicate that here in the state of Georgia.
That's amazing. And so what does that look like? I mean, are you guys getting busloads of people down there, coordinating hotels, reaching out to younger people to get them, plant the seeds of life in their heart, to get them involved? I would think there's a lot of moving pieces to this.
There is. Washington, of course, to go from Georgia is a little more involved because it's, of course, a little bit longer of a bus ride.
Yeah.
So I'll speak on both. So Washington, I've been coordinating trips since 2012,
yeah.
Leading a bus up from Gainesville. Our peak, we had two buses 1 year, but the whole idea is just to try to fill the bus, but also usually what we get are a lot of teenagers, and those are the, I always say, they will be our future leaders, and it's important to get them, get that spirit of life, that the joy of life kind of planted and hopefully that seed grows in them.
Yeah.
So similar then with the state in Georgia, the march is in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And similar, I've organized buses from Gainesville to go down to
wow.
the March for Life in Atlanta. And again, we just try to encourage people to get involved. I think, for me, some of this, more so with can be with Washington, some of the teens that go, they see it as, well, I'm going to miss a couple of days of school, and
yeah.
which is okay, but you hope that sometime during that trip that something sparks within them.
Sure.
I always say that there's a reason why someone like me or anybody stands up for life, and you hope that it's something that happens on that trip, that something again gets stirred within those teens. It could not just teens, but everybody that goes, that just makes them want to stand up for life and show that commitment, and let others know as well that
yeah.
just the joy and the beauty of life, that's a gift from God.
Now, obviously, not every night is a father. I'm a knight and currently not married, never was married. But one thing I see with a large group of knights is they are fathers. And to your point, there's a ability to bring those people, bring their kids with them to
right.
the march, right?
Right?
So they have this kind of baked in influence. So that's got to be particularly meaningful when you're up there and you see knights marching with their children, planting these seeds of life at such a young age.
Yes, we normally do have families that do attend, as that join the trip as a family. Even had a couple of years ago a couple with two baby carriages that so here it's snowing, it's January in Washington D.C. it's snowing, and they're out there with the kids are there, everyone's there, and they're just gung-ho about being there, and it just was a special moment on that trip just to see that.
That's fantastic. So what do you think then is really important to continue this mission for the Knights, to get the word out there and to continue to spread awareness for this amazing effort you guys are doing?
Yeah, I think it's important to for Knights, especially in Georgia, of course, just to promote it within each and every parish, and just
yeah.
if someone can just relay the importance of getting people involved, and then also then I always think of the March for Life as a starting point for, say, a pro-life group in a parish, that there's something, again, hopefully something happens during that day that wants you to come back to your parish and do more for life.
Mm-hmm. So you talk about getting these people involved, getting people to perhaps their first March for Life, and I'm sure you see it turn hearts, but you at one point had your first March for Life. Did that do something to you?
It did. Like I said, there's always there's something that the catalyst that makes you want to do more. And my personal story, my wife had a miscarriage at 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. She had another miscarriage at 20 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then our daughter was actually a preemie. She was born at 28 weeks.
Wow.
She was 2 pounds, 13 ounces. And for me,
wow.
Just seeing her so full of life, she was, basically the size of your hand. And that's what got me, maybe clicked the light for me to say, you need to do more. And it was a couple of years after that I had the opportunity to attend the March for Life in Washington, and that's for me, and just being around, it's just was just such a feeling of joy with seeing a lot of young kids there, young people, and just chanting, and just mm-hmm. As I always say, it takes a sad subject and just turns it into a celebration of life, and that
yeah.
just getting that feeling that motivates me, say, for the rest of the year to do more for life.
It's hard to argue with a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can argue with apologetics, but to argue with your personal story is a tough thing to try to navigate if you're on the opposing side of a dialogue. Now, hearing you and the fact that you see your daughter at the most vulnerable stage of life,
right.
at the most defenseless stage of life, that was a light bulb moment. Wow, I could be doing more for children at this stage of life, and that witness, that snapshot, actually manifested into a charitable stretch that is continuing to affect lives. That's a beautiful gift your own daughter gave you.
Yes. No, and she's, growing up now, and just an amazing experience to go through, and life-changing, I think, for me.
That is so amazing. So people are hearing this. Where can they learn more to either get involved in the march or get more involved in these kinds of efforts with the Knights of Columbus?
Sure. For the National March for Life in Washington, it's just marchforlife.org, the website. In Georgia, it's gakfc.org, and there's on the state website, there's more information about the march that gets posted.
That's fantastic. And so that's where they would reach out to if they were interested in doing a march with the Knights or getting involved in that capacity.
I think more getting involved, it'll give information on dates and locations and just to hopefully help people start to plan the logistics.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Tony, for your witness and your incredible outreach. We are so grateful for you. We've been talking with Tony Maturo from St. Mark's in Clarksville, coordinator for the March for Life within the Georgia State Knights of Columbus. We are truly grateful for you.
Thank you.
Still to come on The Morning Quest.
Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Boniface. Jeannie Dennis will be closing us out. Persner from Christ the King talking about life and the spirit. But next, our buddy Father Rivak, priest of St. Clair of Assisi and Athwar Ackworth, is going to help us unpack today's gospel reading.
Father Rivak, priest at St. Clair of Assisi in Ackworth, is back, and he's going to be diving into today's gospel reading. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Josh, Allison. How are y'all?
Great. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. So today we are still in John, chapter 17, 20 to 26. This is part of what is commonly referred to as Jesus' high priestly prayer. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me, and that you love them even as you loved me. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is awesome.
It's a conversation with this Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
That's what's beautiful about the high priestly prayer. And that's what you get every day, certainly every Sunday, but every day you go to Mass, you hear the conversation between the Son and the Father in the Eucharistic prayer. And that's essentially what this is here. And he talks about setting his apostles up to do the same thing that he's doing here, to pray for those who come to believe, not to pray for the world, but to pray for those who believe that they are in the world but not of the world. Yeah, so he's just really setting up everything he wants to do with his church. This high priestly prayer is a church prayer. It's a prayer about establishing his body for those not only who are with him now, but as he said, those who will come to believe through their words. So he's establishing a hierarchy, he's establishing the structure of the church, he's establishing the divine nature of the church in the world, knowing that he's going to be taken to the Father, so that as he and the Father are one, those who come to believe in him might be one with him, and therefore one with the Father.
Wow.
And this is pretty cosmic. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one.
Yeah.
I mean, there's clearly at this instance, right, at least physically, there is a separation between Jesus and the Father. But at the same time, he says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So there's an element of mystery here that we can't wrap our heads fully around, I would think, on this side of eternity.
Jesus is fully God and fully man. human nature, divine nature, but a divine person. So when we say, I see you, we usually talk about, I'm seeing you as a person, right? So when he says to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you have seen me, Philip, if you know who I am personally as a divine person, mm-hmm. because there is one God nature, though I am the Son, the second person of the Trinity, you have seen the rest of the God nature, the first person, and mm-hmm. theoretically also the third person of the Holy Trinity. So we come to know God through all of his revelation of himself, whether it's Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. But the perfection of revelation comes through Jesus Christ, in whom we see the heart of the Father. Remember, we were estranged from the Father in the garden, right? And so the whole work of salvation, the whole sending of the Son, is to restore humanity to the Father, right? Mm-hmm. And they do that, he does that, they, the Trinity, he, the Father, does that through giving a touch point, a point of union with himself to humanity. And the only way that he can do that is to wed human nature to divine nature, so that as divinity touches humanity, humanity has something sort of to grab a hold of to be divinized, mm-hmm. right? And so we're incorporated into the heart of the Father in the flesh of the Son.
Wow.
Right? And that's what heaven is. I mean, I try to joke about this with people because it's a very serious, but people are oftentimes they don't move past like a second grade imagination of religion, right? Yeah. They're just stuck in that. And so, I mean, you can still think about heaven as golden streets and pearly gates, and that's fine. But what heaven actually is us sharing in the divine nature of the Trinity, mm-hmm. like living in the Trinity as if we belong there.
Wow.
Because in the Son, we do belong there. So heaven for us is being made a member of the second person of the Trinity, now able to love the first person of the Trinity the way the second person of the Trinity loves him, and to be loved by the first person of the Trinity the way the second person of the
wow.
Trinity is loved. And so this is what Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He doesn't mean you need to perfect yourself.
Uh-huh.
He means become a member of my body that you might love the Father perfectly as I love him, and you might be loved by the Father perfectly wow. as he can only love me. He doesn't love humanity the way he loves his Son.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to be loved by the Father the way he loves the Son is to become a member of the Son, right? And that's the hugely ecclesial nature of this gospel here.
Mm-hmm.
That none of this applies to anyone outside the church.
Wow.
I think about this quote from the Catechism. I think it's 2749. You brought up the Father, that this is, you know, you get a slice of this in Mass, this prayer, right? It says in the Catechism, Jesus fulfilled the work of the Father completely. His prayer, like his sacrifice, extends until the end of time. To think that he's not just saying some words here, right? I mean, he is throwing a holy echo into the halls of eternity, and it's still reverberating.
Hold on. A holy echo into the halls of eternity. Somebody needs to write that down.
I know.
Write that down. That's fantastic.
Hey, I already forgot what you said. No, I'm kidding. Josh blows my mind all the time with the words
amazing.
And the way they come out. They're so eloquent.
Well, thank you. I'm going to put
holy
that in my
echo
pocket.
Down the halls of eternity.
You can use it, Father.
I'm going to use it.
Okay, let me try to write it down.
but it was inspired by what you said, because I was thinking, whoa, hold on a second. You talked about those words. I mean, I don't know if it's in the liturgical text, but some form of this is incorporated into the Mass.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
What I was saying at the very beginning there is that Allison obviously pointed out, or rather I should say Allison pointed out the obviously beautiful reality of this conversation between the Son and the Father, and how intimate this conversation is. There's a reason that this high priestly prayer is really only in, I think there's a reason that this high priestly prayer is only in John, because John is the only one with the intimacy with Jesus, the personal intimacy with Jesus, to have been led into this conversation, right? I can just imagine Peter, James, and John, of course, they're always with Jesus, but Jesus goes away and John kind of just like this lover who pursues the beloved, like doesn't want to be far from him. Mm-hmm. So as Jesus sort of steps away to pray this prayer, John kind of like sneaks behind him. And he listens to this beautiful prayer of the Son, who's the body, the church, or rather who constitutes the church, praying to the Father as only a son can speak to a father,
yeah.
be heard by a father. And that intimate conversation happens, not these words, But that intimacy of conversation happens between the Father and the Son in the Mass at the Eucharistic prayer, when the priest, who is in persona Christi Capitas, prays to the Father on behalf of the Church, his bride, who is present before him, in the same exact way and for the same exact reason that Jesus prays his high priestly prayer.
Wow.
Well, your favorite part is coming up. What is a good takeaway for this?
the takeaway.
Yeah, that we can utilize
now. How about this? Why don't you take a moment and maybe read the whole high priestly prayer, or just reread this part here.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to kind of consider the next time you're at Mass, I want you to recognize that the priest is not talking to you like he's Chef Jean-Pierre on a cooking show, but that he is the Son talking to the Father for you.
Mm. Wow.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Father.
Sure.
Rivak, you help us go infinitely deep into these scriptures, and prayers
down
head in your
halls
way.
Of eternity.
Thank you so much, Father Michael Rivak. We are so grateful for you.
Thank you, guys.
Still to come on the Morning Quest.
Jeannie Dennis closes us out talking about life in the spirits. But next, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with Saint Boniface.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey.
With Josh and Allison. Time
it's
now to get acquainted with the sainted.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. You know, as the waning days of May give way to June, June 5th to be precise, which is where we are today, it's moving along quickly.
It is.
The Catholic Church, I've noticed, takes a decidedly English flavor in matters pertaining to saintly celebrations. Back on May 25th, we commemorated St. Bede the Venerable, a man who would go on to earn the title of the Father of English History, and this due in large part to his many scholarly works, including the Ecclesiastical History of the English People.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that during his segment. On the 27th of May, we remembered none other than the man who became known as the Apostle to the English, St. Augustine of Canterbury. And now today, on the 5th, we celebrate the great English bishop and martyr, St. Boniface, who was born in the year 675 and martyred in 754. As mentioned, an Englishman by birth and a Benedictine monk by way of his vocational calling, Boniface is nonetheless known as the Apostle of Germany for his evangelical exploits, which led to great reform in the Germanic Church. He was ordained to the priesthood at the age of 30 and was really trained in the monastery to one day be the abbot of the very monastery in which he flourished as a student, and he was an excellent student.
Wow.
It became most evident over time, however, that he was a missionary at heart. He was commissioned by none other than Pope Gregory II to be sent to the vast and otherwise boundaryless region known as Germania. Germania, now known as modern-day Germany, was populated largely with pagan tribes at the time of St. Boniface's arrival in the year 719 A.D. There was no established church. He would have a sudden and tremendous impact, however. It's amazing how quickly he got to work. He would quickly establish monasteries while installing priests and bishops. St. Boniface would go on to organize the Catholic Church in Germany. For all intents and purposes, he became the Bishop of Mainz, where he established the diocesan infrastructure. Certainly a very well-respected scholar, teacher, priest, and bishop, Boniface was a staunch defender of Christian orthodoxy.
Nice.
Once famously, quite courageously, cut down an enormous oak tree. I love this story. He cuts down an oak tree that the pagans of Germania decided dedicated to their god Thor, doing so as a show of power to who they thought was the true god. He gave the pagans a smaller evergreen tree in return, meaning to symbolize eternal life in Christ. And in doing so, this is interesting, St. Boniface ushers in the tradition of the Christmas tree.
Oh, my gosh.
How about that? Yep. And he would go on to die a martyr's death with 53 of his companions in the year 754, perhaps due to his proclivity for cutting down trees. I don't know. We don't really know a lot about the cause of his martyrdom. But as we know, when a lot of these saints go into uncharted territories, you think of like St. Isaac Jogues and some of the North American martyrs. You know, there's so many. They're not always received well. But in his case, he was received well, but ultimately put to death as a result of the ever-turning up and downs that that go with forging forward with the Catholic Church and establishing it in an unknown region,
yes.
Really. Needless to say, I look back on this, the mere notion that anyone would worship an oak tree is quite bizarre.
That is.
But, yet in this day and age, we see idolatry in various forms all throughout Western culture.
Mm-hmm.
So here was a man who was looking to head that off at the pass. Same things that we dealt with now, we dealt with back then. I think of the words of the philosopher Voltaire, if God created us in his own image, we have more than reciprocated.
Mm.
And we see that today. Of course, we were talking about it before we came on the air with social media.
Yes.
And the look at me culture that prevails. And here we have St. Boniface, again, true to his Christian orthodoxy and the nature of the First Commandment and maintaining the First Commandment. This is what he's perhaps most known for, as well as the many quotes he left us. And I think, Allison, you have a few of those.
One of his quotes, "Let us trust in him who has placed this burden upon us. What we ourselves cannot bear, let us bear with the help of Christ. For he is all powerful and tells us, my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
I would imagine he may have uttered those words as he embarked upon his trip to Germania, because he had to have a lot of trust given this very important assignment, a lot of unknowns. You're going into an area flush with pagans, and you're being asked to establish a church. And, we see all throughout the readings, especially now, as we, for those who are going to daily mass, we see we're following the exploits of St. Paul as captured in the Acts of the Apostles and all the trouble he's having as he's going from city to city and town to town proclaiming the word. It's not always received well.
No.
But in the case of St. Boniface, I was just so impressed with how quickly he moved to establish the infrastructure and to build the churches and to appoint bishops and priests. So a very amazing man today.
And here's another great quote. "The church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on her course."
Amen. It's probably his most famous quote. And it's a great analogy. We hear our priests use that in homilies from time to time. And again, we're emboldened by the words of Jesus, as he gives them to St. Peter, "You are the rock of my church." I'm paraphrasing, of course. "And the gates of hell will not prevail." And we have to always remember that.
Yeah. Another great one. Just shows you the beauty of our faith and how it's been here forever. "Our Lord, you have been our refuge in all generations." I just think of family and just generations way back. The Lord has been our refuge. I mean, just thinking of how blessed we are to be born into the Catholic faith. I think that's the case with you as well. I mean, that is the greatest gift I have.
Yeah, it is. And, again, we talk about generations and generations of saints. We talk about the martyrs a lot on these segments. And, of course, one of our favorite quotes, "The blood of the martyr is
seed of the church."
And we see it here today with St. Boniface. We've seen it a lot lately in these segments, really.
Yes.
I've been talking about Saints Marcellinus and Peter just a few days ago. St. Charles Luanga, just was that a day or two ago we talked about him.
Yes.
St. Justin Martyr. We've had quite a lineup of martyrs who went forth during these very early and very important days of our church.
Yeah.
And they made sure that Jesus's words would hold true, that the gates of hell would not prevail. Mm-hmm. They remained strong and steadfast. They all gave their lives. And here we are today in the year 2025, encouraged, excited. We got a new pope.
Yes.
So I'm optimistic. I'm always optimistic about the church. I really am. Because, again, I know our Lord tells us that we will, in the end, be the victors.
The gates of hell will not prevail.
Yep. Jesus doesn't lie. Thank goodness.
He does not. Well, St. Boniface, he is the patron saint of Germany, the Netherlands, and he is considered the patron saint of brewers, tailors, and file cutters.
File cutters. What is a file cutter, Allison?
I know. That is a good question, because you know what? I did not know. A file cutter is someone who works with files, typically in the metalworking or woodworking context, either manually or using machinery to create or modify files.
Wow. I feel like I just went back to a wood shop with Mr. Tongo.
Well, and I'm laughing. I think in high school, I did take a woodworking class.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh my gosh.
I wish I had taken cooking.
Because
you make something in a wood shop, you can't eat it. Unless you're a termite, I guess. But
you make something that lasts forever.
That's true.
Unless it's in a fire.
But great saint today, really. And the month of June is really tremendous. Again, we talked about the fact that this is a month devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, courtesy of so many saints who promulgated devotion to this great. I think of St. John Hughes. I, of course, think of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, who's most synonymous with this devotion.
Oh, yes.
So, lots to look forward to throughout this month. And then before you know it, we're in July. I know that's another great month for saints. It's probably arguably the the best month for saints, if you ask me. So a lot of opportunities to get acquainted with the saint and Saint Boniface, bishop and martyr.
Pray for us.
Still to come on the Morning Quest.
Do you remember our scripture verse of the week? Well, here it comes. The advocate, the Holy Spirit that the Father will send in my name. He will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you. That's John 14:26. And closing us out is our friend Jeannie Dennis.
AM 1160, The Quest. Your Atlanta Catholic Radio. Back to the Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are joined by Jeannie Dennis, parishioner at Christ the King, founder of St. Rita's Cakes. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did. Mm. Good morning.
We are so grateful for you, and we're so glad that you're here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Josh and Allison and Dave. Good to be here.
Well, we are so grateful that you're here with us, and you're talking about life in the Spirit. We'd love to know, what does that mean for a Catholic today?
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know, many years ago, and Allison can attest to this, mm-hmm. she was part of it. We used to hold Life in the Spirit seminars
yes.
that would teach mm-hmm. us about the Holy Spirit and yeah. Who is the Holy Spirit? And what is our life in the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. And to encourage all of us and to encourage our listeners, he is part of the Trinity and a powerful part of the Trinity who Jesus gave to us, our Father gave to us, just as he did the apostles
yes.
on that beautiful, beautiful time where the fires came, you know, resting on them. And it really is alive today. The mm-hmm. same thing is alive today, where the Holy Spirit and his power
yeah.
can direct us, can counsel us, can show us our life in Jesus, our life in the Holy Spirit, how he can counsel us in all the ways that God's will for us, let's say. Our first Life in the Spirit seminar that I actually took, one of the participants in my group gave me this prayer, and I would like to read this
yeah.
Because it is really so beautiful. And I say this, and I've always shared with my dear friends that praying is risky. So maybe I've learned that when I read this prayer and memorized it. But the prayer is, and this was written by Cardinal Mercier, I believe is how you pronounce it. Back in the 1800s, he was a cardinal from Belgium, I believe. Just a wonderful, wonderful cardinal. But the prayer is, O Holy Spirit, beloved of my soul, I adore you. Enlighten me, guide me, strengthen me, console me. Tell me what I should do. Give me your orders. I promise to submit myself to all that you desire of me and to accept all that you permit to happen to me.
Wow.
Let me only know your will.
Wow.
That is a risky prayer. I mean, it really is,
wow.
but it's a surrender.
Surrender.
Such
absolute
a surrender
yeah.
to our Lord. When you're living for our Lord, when you devote your heart and soul to yeah. the Lord and want all of his direction in your life.
Mm-hmm.
We need the Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct the way. And he nudges us so gently mm-hmm. and so lovingly. And he is very, very peaceful. I remember, Allison, when you and I invited you to come speak at Life
yes.
in the Spirit.
Oh, yes.
He goes before us, and that was one of those examples. And there's so many examples of his power in our lives. So
yeah.
he's part of the Trinity.
Absolutely. And I love the fact that you said it is a risky yeah. prayer to pray. I mean, I've heard a faith-based speaker say, if we could see all the future entails, some of us might just say, beam me up, Scotty. I'm not signing up for this. But you don't know what's on the other end of it. You don't know how the Spirit is going to fortify you and make you a far better person as a result of those
Amen.
Challenges that, by the way, we wouldn't even be able to navigate without the grace of the Holy Spirit, you
Amen.
Know? And so, what do you think, Jeannie, like, what role does the Holy Spirit play in our daily lives, and how can we become more aware of his presence?
I believe he gives us the ultimate of direction, the ultimate of protecting us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know I've been in situations, conversations perhaps with others that I knew he was there, that this was not my place. Mm-hmm. You know, he was protecting me and making me aware of that. So many ways that we are aware of, but I think there's even more ways that we're not aware of. Mm-hmm. But when he gives us a gentle nudge or something, a thought may come or an idea may come or something you may, mm-hmm. he may be calling us to do, that's honoring him, always to honor him, of course, but to recognize those, to be docile to those moments in our lives, because it's for our goodness, for the good of the kingdom. Mm. So be aware of that. And it takes practice. It really does. So many people will say, oh, I thought about this, but that was the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit that's really speaking to you, to help you, to direct you, to counsel you, to provide maybe for another person.
Yes.
You know, it's always for the other. So those are some of the ways, perhaps, Josh, yeah. that we can be aware of. It's always going to point us to God. Mm-hmm. It's always going to glorify God. It is not for us. It's mm-hmm. not self-serving. It's serving the other.
Yeah.
And that's his goal. That Amen. Is his goal.
That's powerful.
No, that is so beautiful. And truly, when you say others, I mean, something came to mind. I remember being at Mass at my parish, St. Michael the Archangel, and I saw a gentleman at Mass, and he had a Bible. And out of the blue, I just heard the words, tell him about the Eucharistic Congress. And it's so easy. And I remember saying to myself, is this you, Lord? Holy Spirit, are you talking to me? Or am I crazy? So things like that.
Another example. Just as you're kind of saying,
yeah.
I was, this was years ago, and I used to organize the Adoration Chapel at the cathedral.
Oh, wow.
And I had already gone from working in this area, let's say, home in Duluth, where I lived at the time, and I kept hearing, go to the chapel.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I just got home. I just drove home in traffic, go to the chapel. And when I got home,
yeah.
it was pressing me. It was really pressing me, and I thought, okay, got back in my car, drove back to the cathedral. When I walked into the chapel, he was alone. And it
Whoa.
Was like he wanted me there with
yes.
him.
Yes.
He did not want to be alone. And that's what perpetual adoration is.
Yes.
Is we are sitting with him, keeping company with him and him to us as he ministers to us.
Wow.
So that's another example, Allison, of what you were saying. So yes.
Oh boy, that is so powerful, Jeannie. Mm.
You know, so Jeannie, if there are listeners who feel spiritually dry or disconnected, you know, what's one simple thing that they can do to invite the Holy Spirit into their lives or even more fully?
I would say go to Mass, mm-hmm. and I would say make a visit to the Adoration Chapel and just say, simple prayer. Lord, I am here before you. Mm-hmm. Please reveal your Holy Spirit to me. Show me what I need to do.
Yeah, because we think about Jesus said, you know, the Father is sending the Advocate in my name. And he talks about you're going to do greater mm-hmm. things. But if it's sending it in Jesus' name, you know, there's that phrase, we are who we hang out with.
But what is an advocate? An advocate is to help us.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. So the more we are around Jesus, we're gonna look like Jesus, but also the more familiar we're going to be and get with that Spirit, right? Because mm-hmm. no one's going to mm-hmm. turn the cell signal up between us and that Holy Spirit like being in the presence or uniting personally with Jesus in the mm-hmm. communion of the Holy Mass.
And great you know point. What, Jeannie? I loved how you said when you're in the presence, say, reveal yourself to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it's mm-hmm. so easy for us to say, I don't know the Holy Spirit or I don't know the Lord. We have to invite the Lord. We yep. have to invite the Holy Spirit, not on a regular basis, not just once.
Yes,
absolutely.
every day. And if that's somebody's just starting on their journey, maybe to say, open my heart, help me to see you, help me to recognize your movement
yeah.
in my life. Give me your direction. Help me see it. And you know what? Even if you feel like you may have done a wrong turn or made a wrong decision, when you base it and gird it in prayer mm-hmm. and give it to God, that is not wrong. Uh-huh. You will not have wrong. Even though it may not turn out at that time how you want it to, it's all in his plan. It's all in his plan. And just hand it over to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
That is so powerful. We're talking to Jeannie Dennis, parishioner at Christ the King Cathedral and founder of St. Rita's Cakes. Where can they learn more about those cakes?
You need to have some.
Everybody is raving about these cakes. In fact, we give them out in our special care packages and sweepstakes sometimes for our Quest listeners. So, yeah, really, really delicious.
I will share with you about the last fund drive, pledge drive, excuse me. We spoke about St. Rita, talked about with the National Shrine up in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And I received an email this week from the director there that we spoke with on air. And people who were listening to this the program of the pledge drive, someone from Georgia went up to the National Shrine on her feast day.
Praise the Lord.
Having heard us on this the program at the pledge drive. So isn't that wonderful?
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much, Jeannie Dennis. Learn more about her where? In your cakes?
StRita's.com. StRita'sCakes.com.
Thank you so much. StRita'sCakes.com. We are so grateful for you. Let's close this thing out the holy way. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.